Why don't we just turn round and say hi to whoever's sitting round about us? You don't have to give them a hug or a kiss. We know there's a new variant on the loose. Just give a smile, give a wave, say a hiya. How you doing? I've opted for the handheld mic this morning, so me and my family have been recovering from the flu, so I just want you to know there's other bugs out there apart from COVID. We did our PCR test with our fevers and everything that was going on, so we're now 2 weeks in, and my voice has been struggling, but I think we're going to be okay. I think I've turned a corner. I think I'm going to be able to share God's word with you. So if I need to have a wee cough, I'll just turn my back quietly if I just need to clear my throat. But hopefully we're going to be okay this morning and you're in safe hands. But as we come to Christmas, I love Christmas. I love this time of year. And I don't have a printer in my house this morning. So at 8 o'clock, I said to my daughter, Zara, come on, let's go to the church. I'm going to print off my talk. She's like, okay, mummy. And it was still dark and the Christmas lights were all lit up in town. And when you've got a 6-year-old who goes to bed at 7 o'clock, they don't get to see the Christmas lights. She's like, wow, mummy, can we see the Christmas? Can we stop at the Christmas tree around the corner? It's like, no, we're going to church today. We'll do that another day. It's quite funny. But anyway, I want to, our theme as we start Christmas and over this whole Christmas season is Emmanuel, God with us. And just as, I don't know if you want to open your Bible at Matthew chapter 1, the start of that story, just want to announce, just to make you aware, we put it in the news sheet this week, but just the death of John Holiday as well. Just pray for Brenda, pray for the family. He passed away peacefully on, I think it was Wednesday this week. So just want to make sure you as a church family have that information and just know as we remember the family in our prayers. Okay, Matthew chapter 1. And I'm going to be just speaking and just looking at that passage. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where something sounds really, really good. You're in a good position. It's what you want. But in order for you to reach this thing that you really want, there's just something in the way that's a little bit annoying, or it's a little bit out of reach, or it's a lot of work or a lot of hassle. And what I mean by that, I want to share with you what I mean by that. So when I was working as a youth worker in a church, an opportunity came for me to work on the national team of a Christian charity, parachurch organization called Youth for Christ. I remember looking at the job advert and thinking, wow, this is an amazing job. I get to travel all over Scotland, supporting, resourcing volunteer youth workers. I get to work with other great agencies like Tear Fund and Soul Survivor and other YFC teams down in England. What an opportunity for me to grow and develop in my gifts and my skill set. And it was amazing. I went for the interview and I felt the interview went really well. I remember they said to me in the interview, so I don't know if you know what's involved in working on the national team of Youth for Christ, but you have to raise half your salary. I remember thinking, oh, okay, that's a bit of a pain in the butt. You mean you don't just pay me? Like, no, you have to raise half your salary. I'm like, okay, that's a little bit different. So I remember going home and then just thinking, I really want this job. I really want this job. It sounds amazing. Everything that I would want for this stage of life and where I'm at. And they phoned me and they said, Rosie, a few hours later, we want to offer you the job. And you know that kind of mixed emotions where you're really excited about something that's just what you want, but there's this, oh, okay, I've got to raise half my salary. How am I going to do that? And that whole of, this is an impossible situation. This is like really annoying. This is really stopping me get to where I want to be. But you know, as part of that journey, sometimes we have some of these, annoying situations where things are just not the plan that we would have planned. It's just not the way we would have done it. But that's where faith comes in. That's where we learn to trust God. That's where we learn to think, okay, God, you know, your word tells us that you provide, you look after us. I went on a training course with YFC and they taught me how to raise half my salary. And within 3 months, I did it. I was able to have a team of supporters round about me. And when I think of the Christmas story, when I think of the story of Mary and Joseph that we read about in Matthew chapter 1, I feel like we have a little bit one of those kind of situations. You know, here's Joseph pledged to be married to Mary. Mary goes away for a few months and comes back. I don't know when he would have told her exactly. She would have told him exactly, but it's like he loved her. He was going to spend the rest of his life with her. The plan was there. It was just normal life, you know. You're going to get married. We're going to have children together. All these things. But there's just a little bit of a situation. Mary is pregnant. And it's like, oh, you know, I don't think this is going to happen anymore. I don't think this plan is going to work out. Even if Mary, when Mary did explain it to Joseph, we know he didn't believe her, because we can read about that Mary was a respectable man. We know about the culture in these days that if you were pregnant outside wedlock with another man, that is like adultery. That's like a stoning affair. That's a horrific situation to be in with, to be party to. And there was a... And I think when we have a situation like that, where the plan maybe has to change or the plan is not what we want it to be, we need miraculous intervention. There needs to be a sign, there needs to be an assurance that it's going to be okay. And that's exactly what Joseph had. He had an encounter with the angel. The angel came to him, appeared to him in a dream, and he said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us, is a comfort. These words, particularly when we come to Christmas. After this incredible supernatural experience, suddenly it was going to be okay, or was it? It was going to be okay a little bit, but there was still a bit of a journey to walk. Whatever was going to get thrown at Joseph, it was going to be okay. Would there be any humiliation? Would people talk? Would people work out the timing and see that things didn't really add up? We read in Luke's gospel, and again, another debate, and Alistair preaches on it most Christmases, about the inn. The inn that we say in the nativity with all the children, there's no room at the inn, but actually when we read Matthew's gospel, the NIV says there was no room at the guest room. It would have been quite probable that Joseph, when the census was taken, went back to Bethlehem, would have stayed with relatives. And there could have been two scenarios. He could have gone to stay with relatives, and the timing and the arrival of going to stay with the relatives meant there was no room for them because other relatives were there, and they had to stay in the basement where the animals were. Or the other probable reason why they were down in the basement of the, it's probably a 2 or 3 tiered house they would have stayed in. That's what it would have been like in that time period. And the animals would have been downstairs in the basement because that's where they would have been safe. No one could steal them. And also the warmth of the animals would bring up through the house and keep the family warm as well. But maybe the other reason could have been of that disgrace that Mary was pregnant and there was not going to be a guest room available for her. And therefore, they would have to have the child down there where the animals were. God of the universe, God of creation, King of the world, came into the world like this. Who would have thought? You know, many people were waiting. Matthew's whole reason for sharing this, the genealogy before we come to this part, is to let you know that this promised child is going to be fulfilled. The promise that the people have been waiting for generations, was going to come, but not how we expected it to happen. Not the way that we, humanly speaking, would have thought that plan would have taken place. Completely different. In completely different circumstances. God with us is the most incredible demonstration of this incredible loving God to come through the virgin birth of a young woman. who was honourable, who loved God. God with us says God wants to be intimately involved in our lives. He wants us to know his voice and follow him. In fact, he wants to be with us so strongly that he sent his son, a part of himself, to physically walk on the earth. That baby in the manger was God. And do you know the incredible truth when we come to Christmas this year is that God is with us today. Last Christmas was a hard Christmas. It was different. In the height of a pandemic, it'll be a little bit different this year, but still not easy for everybody. When I think of the person I am today and the work that God has done in my life, how God has changed me, there's definitely many, many experiences I can share and shout and scream about or quietly whisper. I've just known God with me through this. There was times when I came close to giving up. I'm sure many of us have been through that in situations when things get thrown at us in our lives, when we think, oh, can I do this anymore? And sometimes it's the toughest and the hardest points in our life when we need to know more than anything that God is with us. We've been taking some time as pastors over the last few weeks just to think and reflect on all the people in our church family that have been bereaved this year. And there's a lot of people have lost loved ones in this last year, and not particularly to COVID, to many other things. And as I reflected on that, I was reflecting on my own situation and reminded just last month of the 8th anniversary of the death of my dad. And on that same day of his anniversary just this year, the way the dates worked out, we celebrated the birthday of my 6-year-old daughter, Zara. And it was a sweet and a bitter day to think of those two things. Zara's birthday is actually 2 days after the anniversary of my dad's death, but just the way the dates worked out for a party this year, she never had her party last year, so we wanted to make sure there was a celebration and a party this year. But when I was remembering God being with me through one of the darkest moments of my dad's death, I remember it clearly, and I've not really spoken about this very much, but I feel I can share this now, 8 years on. I got the phone call from college. I was at the Baptist College just finishing off my degree in theology. And then my mum called me to say that my dad had taken poorly. Really quickly, would I come home and take them to the doctors? I remember rushing home from college and just crying in the car, just the whole journey back to the house, because I knew my dad was diagnosed with liver cancer 9 months previous. And in my knowledge and the way that I was thinking, I thought, well, it's cancer. There's going to be a downturn. I'm waiting on the downturn. And today was the day that hit me. This was going to be the downturn. I remember stopping just short of the house because my face was just a mess. I thought, I can't walk into the house with my mum and dad like this. I need to sort myself out, wash my face or whatever, and contain myself. And then I walked into the house and I got my mum and dad and we took them to the doctors. And I think the doctor took one look at my dad and said, you need to go to A&E. You know, there was internal bleeding, there was different things going on. You need to go straight up to hospital. And so that's what we did. I drove my mum and dad up to the hospital and then I left my mum there and I went away. And during that time, you think, okay, I've got a little bit of time, we've got time. But we didn't have time. I came back to the hospital that night. We spent some time with my dad. He was still in the assessment unit. He was getting treatment. He was getting blood platelets put through his body. And that night, I didn't even have a clue about the hospital or anything. I think we took him to a ward and we said goodbye. I didn't realize the ward was high dependency. And he went into that ward. And then the next day, my mum went into the hospital to check and spend some time with him. And the rest of us as a family were going to go and see him in the afternoon. My brother was flying over for Israel. We knew things were pretty serious. I don't think anything can prepare you for when you get a phone call from the hospital saying, you need to come now. And that phone call was actually the too late phone call. My dad has slipped away peacefully. His local minister, David Gordon, who preached here a few weeks ago, had been in to see him and spend some time with him. Sang songs with him. They prayed together. They chatted together. I think my dad prayed for David Gordon as well in the hospital. And little did we know, a few minutes later, when David walked out of the hospital, that my dad would slip away. And then you have that shock, you know, as a family, you're thinking, oh, okay, I thought we had some time. We didn't even have 24 hours. But I just remember in that moment, in that grief, just having an incredible sense of God with us as a family. Our whole family were there together. We cried together. The grief was immense. The pain was immense. And anyone who's been through that would know what it's like. And you think, will this pain ever go away? And it does. One of the songs that I took great comfort for was "In Christ Alone." In Christ alone, my hope is found. And that was just summed it all up about my faith and my love for God, my relationship with my dad and his love for God. There was a time when I couldn't pray prayers, but when you can't pray these prayers, I bought a book and I read other people's prayers. Because God was with me in that whole situation. My dad was a pastor. He was my rock. It's quite funny when you're a youth worker. You know, I used to get a phone call I used to phone him on a Saturday night. I'd be like, "Hi, Dad. How are you? What are you doing for your children's talk tomorrow in your church?" And he'd be like, "Why are you asking, Rosie? Just wondering. Are you needing a children's talk? Maybe." And then he would tell me what he was doing. I'm like, "Thank you." And then Sunday afternoon, we'd have this little chat. "How was your children's talk? How did it go?" After our morning services. There was just that relationship. There was that closeness. There was that talk. I'm doing the Christmas Day service this year, so if you want to come. I don't have anyone to ask for about my children's talk for the Christmas Day service, but don't worry, I will find another source somewhere else. God's presence is Emmanuel, God with us. Now, I share this story of my grief because in my job and what I do is I journey with people that have lost people. And I remember thinking in the midst of my grief 8 years ago, how does a minister get up and do a funeral? How do you do that and hold it together? I want to be able to do that one day. I want to be able to journey with people. And when you've had that whole experience and that pain yourself and then come through that healing process, the bereavement process of what that looks like, it's an honor and it's a joy to sympathize and have a level of understanding what it's like to lose somebody that you love. When I think of Jesus coming to the earth as a baby, as a person, as a human, that's exactly what it's like. He knows what we go through. He knows what we experience. He's been there. He identifies with us through the good times, the hard times, the painful times, the suffering times. And oh my goodness, he knows what it's like. When we come to Christmas this year, remember Emmanuel, God with us. When I journey with people, not just in bereavement, where people are going through hard times, one of the things I write quite a lot in cards is I just pray God's presence over you during this time or in this situation. And the reason I say these words for me, because it has a great depth of meaning, that when we think of Emmanuel, God with us, that means God's presence is with us. I don't always have the words to bring comfort or to bring healing to people in their different situations and their pain and their suffering. But see, when we speak God's presence over each individual situation, God has all that covered. Just to encounter the incredible presence of our God. In Romans 8, it says, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God. And as we come up to Christmas this year, we need to remember that. God loves us. Nothing can separate us. The whole story of this baby coming to earth is a demonstration of God's incredible love. He didn't need to do this, but he did. We can all have the strength, no matter what we go through, and the confidence to keep going because what Jesus has done, because God is with us every day. When our prayers are not always answered the way we want, we can feel abandoned by God. And I share with you this message because it's a message of hope, that God has not abandoned you, like me, with my dream job and somehow having the strength to raise money each month, like Joseph in this nightmare of having to deal with a situation that's just like, whoa, what's going on? But having an incredible encounter with the angel. God's presence to say, you can take Mary to be your wife, it's going to be okay. Each one of us can know the power and the presence of the living God in every situation. Sometimes because of what we've experienced in our life, we can think that God's angry at us. But you know what? That is not who God is. That is not who God is. The reason we have Christmas is proof that Jesus came, he lived, he died, and he rose again so that we can have a real relationship with our God, our Father God. His desire is for that intimacy, and he loves you. So this Christmas, let's all together, no matter what this year has thrown at us, just remember, Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your promises. I thank you for just the way that you orchestrated everything for your son to come into this world and walk amongst us. Thank you for your incredible love. And for anyone who doesn't know or feel or have experienced your love or forgotten, God, that each person here today or listening online would just have an incredible encounter with your love. Knowing that you love us doesn't make us exempt from pain and suffering, but knowing that you love us means that you're there with us in it all. Your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, and meet each person this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.